Fendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, folks, for June the 27th. It's been a couple of weeks since E3, since we last podcasted, but we got a full crew today. So let's start with our introductions. We'll start with Harrison. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. We're back, everybody.
We're back ready to rock. We also have Chris back from a long hiatus. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited to have another podcast, and now with the full family, which is pretty cool.
Yes, and that's fantastic. And the first time with Harrison and Scott, and also
yes, sir.
We have Scott again, as usual. How are you doing today, Scott?
Not too bad. Just trying to beat this heat here in northern Indiana.
Oh, you have heat. Okay.
Well, you guys might be a little bit different.
it's a bit balmy here as well. I mean, wait, Chris, are you in Texas? I hope not, because apparently
no.
They're
okay.
No offense to Texas. I always, for the size of Texas, I always refer to it as a country. So, but then, and you refer the same thing to Alaska.
No, we're both here in hot and sunny, dry New Mexico. We're about
see,
to
see that's the difference. You don't have the humidity that we have.
Oh yeah, I don't know if I could do the
trust
humidity.
Trust me, the amount of dry heat we have makes up for the humidity you guys have.
We're about to jump in the Rio Grande after this, so.
Nice.
Well, enough about us. I think everybody's ready to talk Nintendo news, so what do you guys say we get started?
Let's do it.
Let's do this. So we'll start off with post E3 reactions, because last time we podcasted was kind of in the middle of E3, kind of right before Nintendo had their 3DS press conference. And honestly, not much had happened from Nintendo. I mean, so what do you guys think about Nintendo's E3? I guess the general reaction of the internet is that Nintendo kind of lost E3, or whatever that means. But do you think they showed enough at E3 to save face for E3, or what are your guys' reactions? Scott, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think one thing with the with Nintendo's announcements is that they didn't have to go too far above and beyond on this one, because they were the only contributor that was actually announcing a new system, as well as new games. The other two systems, they had some peripherals that they announced, but you know, and new games, but that was about it. So I think Nintendo had the opportunity to keep this as low key as possible, and then announce other details little by little later on, as we saw in the conference just a week or so ago.
Right, the Nintendo Direct. Yeah.
Yep,
and that actually brings me to another point. So, Harrison, why do you think Nintendo held back so much information like the 3DS XL and Smash Brothers from the Nintendo press conference at E3? Like, why do you think they held that for Nintendo Direct?
Well, my guess for this probably is that I think Nintendo is slowly, I mean, this is just my general theory. I feel like the company is slowly kind of moving away from, like, you know, revealing all their big information in E3, or they're just slowly kind of moving away from the conference altogether, kind of like how they're just a bit pretty much absent each year almost. Well, they don't have that big enough presence like at the Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah.
And I think that they're trying to find ways to, you know, different ways of communication to just unveil material. I think what they want to do is what they really want to do is, you know, kind of keep a steady stream of, you know, news and like information just to somewhat appease fans, you know, to keep things going. You know, There were months of times where we didn't even know what was going on with the company for a while. You know, we're just waiting, like, you know, wait for E3. But do I like how they're doing these Nintendo Direct information? Yeah, I do. I like the, they're a little bit more old lengthy. One, they're a bit to the point, and two, it's yeah. I mean, the main argument you could say is, why didn't you show this at E3? And this comes back to, again, to the original point. I think they're going away from this convention altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're just trying to appease a little more to us the fact that, you know, there's always that one person that says, hey, is there going to be Space World this year? I'm like, you're about 10 years.
Yeah.
Space
World is old news.
I was like, you're 10 years late on that one right now. I think after like 03, we decided every fan, like Nintendo file out there, was like, yeah, I don't think that's happening anymore. I think that whole little shebang is dead. I mean, even though in the back of my head, I mean, I would probably scream if they ever brought that back, because even after, if I didn't get anything at E3 that was like noticeable, I mean, that was always the next event I would look forward to. Right. And I think, I mean, I think the first glimpse that I ever got of that was when they unveiled the Nintendo GameCube. I mean, at that point, it was like they unveiled it like in six different colors, which I was thought to myself, wow, this is going to be awesome, just like the 64, just but with discs. And it's like, we only got three colors. That was it. Right. Two at launch.
Right. Well, and you know what? I think some of it might have had to do with some of the reason they held some of it back was maybe the information wasn't ready. Like maybe some of the deals weren't signed from like Namco, you know, producing Smash Brothers or something like that. Or actually, I don't know about the 3DS XL because I mean that Nikkei report kind of leaked right before the event. But I mean, Chris, what do you think? Do you think that Nintendo? what do you think about the whole press conference in general? Do you think they did enough? Or
I think they did perfectly fine. I mean, you know, like the other guys were saying, they were the only ones that put out a new console and really stressed that it was a new console. And like, you know, there's always been rumors going around left and right online and in newspapers, or not newspapers, but in magazines. And quite honestly, in financial districts and stuff like that, that E3 is going to die soon. It's a dying thing. It's not huge anymore. It's not important anymore in the gaming industry. And I think that all three companies showed this. I definitely don't think that they lost E3. I think Sony lost E3 hands down.
Really?
A book for 30 minutes? Are you kidding me? A plastic
okay,
book for that, 30 minutes?
Okay, that itself was the worst thing on there. Well, when I watched a recording of that and everybody was set like... Much
that
much,
lady had no idea what she was doing. She was just like...
I know, well... My friends told me, like, I was at work during that conference, and my friend said, like, oh, you're going to hate one segment of that, whatever. And, like, well, what's that? You'll see it. And I got
you knew right away.
I got to the book, and I started texting my friend, it's the book thing, isn't it? Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's – and I think –
But, no, I didn't think they lost. I thought – I'm sorry. I didn't think they lost. I thought they probably had the big three. I thought they just slightly did a little bit better than what Nintendo did. And, of course, I felt – You know,
I don't feel like Nintendo had to do anything, though. They're coming out with a new system, and they're the only ones who had the huevos to do it in E3, which was really cool. And I got to give them props for that. And at the same time, they still made it where they kept their fans guessing. They still kept the majority of population going, oh, I wonder what else there is. And sure enough, you know, like we said, Bandai Namco is doing Super Smash Bros. They never hinted that. And that was a pleasant surprise for me to read instead of watching it at E3. And that's what I thought. That's what I liked about it. You know, surprisingly, out of all three of them, I think all three of them did pretty bad compared to, like, Ubisoft.
Yeah, Ubisoft won that conference for sure.
Yeah, hands down.
Out of all the conferences, Ubisoft had the most to show. And honestly, it would have been Nintendo's conference to win because they showed up last, but they just didn't do enough, in my opinion. But, I mean, out of all of them, I don't think that anybody really did good. I mean, Microsoft didn't really show much. They showed that what is it called, Glass or
Smart Glass.
Yeah, and Sony had their Wonder Book.
I think
Snafu.
And that's the thing is Microsoft is gearing towards more of like a casual gamer, and I'm a little concerned about that because they don't have any good hardcore games that have been Microsoft's kind of, you know, bread and butter
except,
for so long.
Except for Halo.
Right, yeah, they've got Halo. Right. What does Nintendo have? You know, Mario, Luigi. You just off the Mario franchise, you can name 10 different characters that they can make games off of and make decent games out of them.
When you spoke about Halo, you mean basically, well, Halo 4, I'm still calling it Metroid Prime 4, if you know what I'm talking about.
It looks so Metroid.
Right, it does.
And if I remember correctly, like from listening to other podcasts and from reading up on the internet, there's a couple of like creative directors at 343 Industries that came directly from Retro, so that's probably why it looks pretty Metroid-ish. But I don't know. I just don't, like I said, I don't think that anybody really did particularly well. Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo in this year's E3, but. At the same time, like Chris was saying, I don't think that any of them really needed to because, like, Nintendo's got this Wii U console, and everybody's going to go gaga over that once they get their hands on it. Like, I guarantee you that. It from playing with it at this year's E3 and last year's E3, like, you just have to hold it in your hands, and you just understand, like, why this is necessary, why this is the next step in gaming.
It is. It's the same way when be it anybody who's through, like, on the internet or through a message board, you know, they're – I mean, in a world where we live on the internet, everybody's going to be quick to judge. But again, once you have that thing in your hand, it really – I mean, I personally haven't held it. I know, yeah, like you said, Eugene, you've played around with it. I mean, well, both years, both the prototype and both the retail version that we have now. And
right.
I'm really excited to actually get a feel for this. I really want to see basically, like, when I first picked up a Wii remote controller and a nunchuck, and I felt like, okay, I can see where this is going, even though in hindsight it's like they could have done a little bit more better as far as it comes to third-party developers. Yet, still, back to the whole issue of E3, it was just a dull conference this year. I mean, it was kind of that big of a...
I wouldn't say it was dull. I would say it's just I wouldn't say that. Sorry, go ahead.
The reason I say it's dull is because your two other competitors, you know, they're nearing the end of their, like, their console life cycles, supposedly. I mean, I'm still under the premise that either probably only one of the two are only releasing, either between Microsoft or Sony, are going to be releasing their console, like, at the end of 2013.
They'll show consoles at next year's E3, but I don't know. Do you think that PS4 and Xbox 720 or whatever it's going to be is going to be out next year in November time? I mean, I don't know if I can see that. Do you think?
Well,
what do you guys
kind of point to it. I mean,
I think that when it comes to, you know, them showing that they have to show a new system next year. I mean, I think you're right. It's ending the end of the lifespan. But I don't know if it's going to be ready yet. I think that if they show it next year, it's going to be more to gauge the reaction of the fans and the players out there. And that way they can kind of, you know, go from there. You know, if there's stuff that the gamers are really complaining about, it'll give them time before the actual launch date to go in and make tweaks and changes to really customize to what the gamers want, or, you know, take stuff away that the fans aren't really that excited about. You know, I think that's kind of one way that Nintendo went here too. You know, they gave what they had. They gave a quick look at the system. They gave very basic information, built some excitement around the games and the franchises, and got the fans' reactions. And then a couple weeks later, you know, had the Nintendo Direct and showed a little bit more the 3DS XL. You know, and gauge what's going to happen there and some more games that are going to be coming out. I think we might see that from Nintendo, you know, rather than showing all their cards at once, you know, just a sneak peek here and there until they actually come full launch.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all that said then, so what are your guys' favorite games of the show then? I mean, Nintendo or otherwise, because there was a lot. I mean, like Harrison was saying, it was somewhat a dull show. I mean, they showed a lot of casual games and everything, but there was a lot of games that were shown. So, I mean, did you guys have a favorite game shown? I mean, Harrison, what do you think?
I would say that was the kind of point I was saying is just as games shown, I mean, be it from, well, Microsoft or Sony or, well, a little bit of Nintendo's conference, it's just there were a lot of games out there that we just had already seen in little glimpses before, like, you know, in screenshots or usual stuff, like gameplay videos that were sporadically released between the last year. And that's what itself, I mean, the whole surprising aspect of E3 just hasn't really wowed me as it has, like, the last couple of years. But...
Would you say that even last year was, like, surprising or exciting or crazy? Nintendo had that new console that they threw at us, but other than that, I mean, it was the same thing that's over and over and over again. Call of Duties, you know, Tom Clancy games, you know what I'm saying? It's just the same repetitive thing, so...
Oh, yeah. It's just, I mean, this isn't a knock on them or whatever. I mean, I'm a Microsoft console owner myself. It just... I mean, there were times during those conferences like that I felt like it was a carbon copy of the last year before. Even Matt Stone and Trey Parker came out when I liked their little
when you knew they were going to come out. Yeah, that's true.
It's like, you can play this even in your toaster or in your microwave, and I'm like, thank you for saving this conference for me. But I digress with that. I digress.
That's funny.
I will say, I was surprised about last year when the Wii U's unveiling was, but. Again, I think it was after that, it was still the mystery of it. I was hoping you would get more tech demos when I was hoping for, and I mean, the only thing that really just kind of said, oh, I really like that Zelda tech demo that had, like, the Twilight Princess kind of, like, in HD. That's what really did, and then it was over, it's like, I want more, please. And when I did get more, it just, like, you're just kind of left... Again, I think we're a little more on this podcast, I think we're going to get into, like, you know, as far as when Nintendo's trying to appease fans... It kind of hit me a little bit, but we'll talk more about that. But back on the subject of the game that I like, though, I mean, the two that really non-Nintendo games that I really Well, two not made by specifically by Nintendo. One was Zombie U, and the other, Ubisoft's Watch Dogs.
Yeah,
both
and
those
games. I think that Watch Dogs has potential to. I mean, I don't know if it's going to ever come to Wii U, but that game, I got to see a video of it because it wasn't playable at the conference. But I think that could probably come to Wii U in the future, and that has huge potential on the Wii U. I think.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you too. It's a pretty impressive piece of video game, you know, memorabilia. And I think it's one of those games that'll definitely make history because it's something that, you know, it was one of those moments where you're like, wow, this was a total complete surprise. This was not expected. And I'm more the fact that I'm more excited about this than in all honesty, the Wii U right now really shows how good and how far that developer's come and what that game's going to be about. Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Once I just got a hold of that, like, you know, that footage of it, I am just like, once it was kind of like the first bit of the theatrical trailer, thinking like, oh my god, what is this, whatever, and then when I got more into it, I mean, like, oh my god, I can't wait to see this demo, whatever, too, and it's like, oh, it's not playable, I'm like, ah, oh. But on to, like, I mean, obviously that was a good enough tease for me to actually, you know, read up and know that. Well, obviously, I think this game is probably going to be available like next-gen consoles. I think the same thing with like Star Wars, if I'm saying this right, 1313, or is that the wrong title?
Yeah, you're right there. That the Star Wars title looks pretty good too. But honestly, I don't think that one's going to come to this gen's consoles. I mean, that one looked very, very next-gen to me, and they didn't even specify what consoles it's going to be coming to.
Hmm. Cross your fingers.
Yeah. Well, Chris, what are your favorite titles from E3, like Nintendo or otherwise?
My top three for sure. Number one, I know it sounds really corny and cheesy, is that new Need for Speed game.
You're a racing game.
Yeah, but if you give Criterion anything that involves cars and carnage and crashes and high-speed pursuits, it's going to be really, really good. And judging by their old one, Hot Pursuit was their last one?
Yeah, that's when you got...
Yes. That was one of the best games and brought back so many memories for me, and I'm really, really looking forward to this new game. I think it's going to be really good. And the gameplay of that Porsche, oh man, it looks so intense the entire time. And then, of course, Watch Dogs looks really good, but one that I was actually kind of impressed with and thought was really cool is that Lego game for the Wii U.
Oh, Lego, you know,
I did forget about that.
It looks really fun. It looks really decent, and it's like a Grand Theft Auto Lego world, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool.
That's funny that you say that, because it didn't get a lot of traction.
I thought it looked really cool. I thought it was a great idea. Mm-hmm. I liked the whole idea that, you know, if you crash, the cars fall apart into a bunch of Legos, and
right.
I just thought it was really neat. But the other one that I really, really am looking forward to is The Last of Us, if I remember,
oh,
if that's the name of it.
Game? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
That looks good. That looks really, really, really good.
Yeah, I think that was one of the few titles that actually just recently just got delayed into 2013, that and Bioshock Infinite. So all these other – it just seems like it's kind of – aside from the Wii U's launch coming up, all the other console makers aside from like Halo 4 just seems like – I don't know. It just seems like that fall is still for the right now it's shaping up for the taking for, mm-hmm. you know, Nintendo when it comes to that. But when you mentioned Lego, that's actually been – I was looking up information for whatever after E3, just more trailers and screenshots. It's actually going to be published by Nintendo. I mean, not like –
It's developed by, I want to say, Traveler's Tale, and then it's...
why does that name sound so familiar?
Well, Traveler's Tale did all the other Lego games, like Lego Batman and all those other things, I'm pretty sure you're right that it's being published by Nintendo, so that's actually pretty great.
Yeah, it's going to be a really great game.
Well, Scott, what are you excited about from E3? Like, what are your top couple of games that are coming out?
Well, definitely, I'm really excited about The Last of Us. I'm sorry, that one, you know, really, really does look like it has some really good gameplay, and the story just looks very, very good. You know, I like the idea of, you know, it's kind of like a father daughter type game, and you know, she still gets in the action. It's not like you're trying to save her or anything. She's just right there with you, which is really great. Obviously, you know, with me being a Kingdom Hearts fan, Dream Drop Distance is definitely, you know, on the top of my list.
Oh, that's right. And did you download the demo, the 3DS demo?
You know, I'm trying not to. I think I will, but, you know, I'm trying to wait for the game to actually be launched and released, you know, because I know that I'll play the demo and,
yeah.
And just get excited, and I'll reach my limit of the number of tries, and you know, then you know I'll just be that much more excited. So
my wife, she's not a big gamer at all. Like, she despises them because I spend a lot of time playing them instead of with the family and everything. And the one game that's really hit home for her is Kingdom Hearts, and she's super duper excited about that game. Really, really, really excited. There was a demo out, so now I'm gonna. I don't know. Tonight's gonna be a good night.
When you said my wife is not a gamer, I was thought to myself, I hope you signed a prenup. no offense.
I did.
I'm in the same situation there, and I think with mine, I can probably get the Atari out and get her on board, but that's not as far as that one's going to go, unfortunately.
It's like, okay, honey, we're going to go up through Atari, then we're going to go up from, like, this generation, then we're going to move on, and then we're going to make a big leap to 3D.
Yeah.
My son. He'll be 18, and then he'll get to experience the 3DS. That's my...
Oh, wow.
What else did you like then, Scott?
Zombie U was definitely a plus, and I'm kind of liking the new Super Mario Brothers 2. It's still got the classic feel, and I'm kind of being the old school gamer. I think that kind of definitely plays on the nostalgia part there. I'm not a real fan of the coin collection. With that,
That's going to be really interesting. Like, it's going to kind of either be really awesome or it could just be kind of a big fail. But I mean, we'll see what they do with it.
Coin collection. Another game that had that issue that was Nintendo oriented was Donkey Kong. I'm a little worried about the next Donkey Kong if they have
Donkey Kong 64. You're talking about.
Well, even the Wii one, you had to collect all those Kongs you had to go through the level 3 times to beat it and get everything. And I was just like, no, never again.
But you beat it though. You got to the gold.
I got 100%. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, it's embarrassing. I know.
Now we're just bragging.
So you said Dream Drop Distance, Scott, and then also Zombie U, and then anything else that really piqued your interest, or besides New Super Mario Brothers 2?
I think that Chris is probably going to hate me for this one, but I actually liked the Sony Wonder Book. I didn't like the Eternity they spent on it, and the poor demonstration. But
I think that, you know what, I think you have something there about the poor demonstration, because they could have done what they...
There's so much you can do with it. Like, I'm sitting here telling you that, okay, it's a great idea, it's a perfect idea, but my goodness.
30 minutes?
Is that a horrible, horrible demonstration of it? Yeah.
It was painful, but there's so much potential there. I really did like what they can possibly do with it.
Yeah, no, I would have to say that I definitely, definitely agree with you. But at the same time, Sony lost because I think they rushed it. They put it out, and that was it. They just kind of messed up horribly on that. And there was no room for that type of error, ever.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, with E3 gone and done with, I mean, I think it's going to be really an exciting year. I mean, obviously we're already halfway through the year, but it's going to be towards the busy time of the season that we're going to get our summer lull, but we'll get like Pokemon here pretty soon, and then we'll start getting some.
What about Tomb Raider? I'm sorry. What about Tomb Raider and Splinter Cell?
Well, but you know what? Tomb Raider looked really good, but it really disappointed me that's going to be 2013 that it got delayed again.
Yeah. It looks really good, though. Sorry, guys. Go on. Proceed.
But, yeah, I mean, like I was saying, it's going to be a – I don't know. It's going to be a good year. Nintendo's going to have a lot of good stuff shown for Wii U. I'm sure we're going to learn a whole bunch of new things with their Nintendo Directs now that they like to do those. So, I don't know. So, actually, one of the big things with the Nintendo Direct that just got announced was that Smash Brothers is going to be a collaboration between Project Sora and Bandai Namco. So, I mean, Harrison, I mean, first off, what do you think that this means for the future of the franchise? I mean, are you excited that Bandai Namco is producing this title, or what do you think about this?
I'm a little miffed that
not producing.
Well, wait, they're producing. I'm a little miffed.
Nintendo is producing it, so they're like Miyamoto and I forget it. Sakaguchi is going to be like kind of helming it, but they're entirely developing it. They're going to be in charge of a lot of basically the whole thing with like obviously a lot of oversight from Nintendo and Sakaguchi, or not Sakurai. Sorry.
I'm a little miffed that Hal's not going to be back on this project again, but a lot of things could probably go along with this one. I mean, these two companies can actually collaborate to, two different ideals, what they can bind. But it's early. It's really early for me to actually figure out what they could possibly do with this one, because obviously there's Project Sora out right now Project M or Project Sora, whatever that is actually – I forgot the name of this mod that's out for, like, Super Smash Bros. Brawl that eliminates a lot of different things from, like, the version, like, such as, like, sliding and basically toning down Meta Knight's,
I saw that. It's supposed to bring it a lot like more like Melee. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like a mod that you can download.
Yes. And I just don't – well – It's hard to actually for me to believe what I could probably say about this. I mean, the only thing I could say is, like, okay, Namco Bandai is doing this, so essentially we're getting Pac-Man and Kelowna in this game, whatever his character, so
right.
It's really that surprising of an announcement. And again, I guess I'm kind of glad that they held off past E3 to do this, because, we're all excited for E3, gets past it, and we're just like, okay, things get off, and, oh, there's more information. Wow, this is kind of going out. So,
well, what do you think that they held back this information because, like, the deals weren't signed? Like, maybe, they just didn't have it official yet that Namco Bandai was going to be developing it?
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. It is, but obviously I just really don't know per se. I mean, for as little information we get, this partnership itself really did shock me a little bit. Not to the point of like, oh wow, I'm really mad at this, but it just shocked me to like, okay, I want to see really where this goes. It's the possibilities are endless, and I could see maybe at this point, whatever, a good connectivity that we can get this one through the Wii U version and the 3DS version. That itself is what I'm really excited for.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think a lot of it had to do with them like asking for help from Namco Bandai or whatever they did collaborating with them is because they want to get both of the versions out in a timely manner. You know, I mean, how long would it take for Sakurai himself with just Project Sora to get it out all on their own? You know, it could have been years from now, but hopefully now we'll get at least something at next E3, and maybe it'll come out by next November.
If it's the same amount of time that we had between 01 and 2008, well, yeah, 7 years or so between each installments, I could probably see maybe the same length, but
I think Nintendo would be fools to wait that long, because, I mean, when did other Smash Brothers come out? Brawl, was that 2007?
2008. Yeah, March 2008.
So we're already looking at 4 years from then.
I give it right now about 2013. That is my shot for a fall release date of 2013 that we could probably see something release, if not maybe early 2014. But again, that could be pushing it.
I'm thinking early 2014, because that's kind of what happened with Brawl. I mean, they were tentatively looking at November, and then it got pushed back to March. And I'm kind of thinking that's what's going to happen. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, hopefully now that they've got all these developers from Namco Bandai that they can really start producing this project, because it sounds like it's very early on, like very, like, concept art even level. I don't even know if they have any code built for it yet. But, I mean, I don't know, maybe in the next Nintendo Direct we'll see a little bit of footage or something. But so, Scott, what do you think about this collaboration between Namco Bandai?
Well, I think it'll be a good introduction of new characters into the series, possibly. I think that, either way, when it comes out, whatever we get, it's going to be an awesome game. I mean, we're gonna have the old classic characters, possibly some new characters. It'll be interesting to see who they keep and who they get rid of the past games. I think overall I'm more excited to see who's going to be new in the series. There's got to be, I would hope some Namco characters coming over and hopefully a few surprises there also.
Yeah, well, I know Chris wants some Gundams in there. He's
heck yeah, man, that'd be awesome.
That would be great
to play as Armorer Ray or Shara Aznable. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping for they let Sonic in. Why not let Pac-Man in?
I think Pac-Man is a shoe-in. I think he's going to be in there for sure.
I think he has to be. But
Street Fighter Cross Tekken, for Christ's sakes.
Exactly, and. You know, I think the other thing I'd like to see, and, who knows if it's going to happen or not, but, Namco, does own basically the rights to Digimon. I'd love to see some Digimon characters, and, you know, along with some of the Pokemon characters, and have a battle between the two of those.
It is, but do you think Digimon at this point, whatever, still has enough? Well, I don't believe it has enough pull as it did back.
Can you imagine,
like, was it like the
Doug? Sorry to interrupt. Sorry, Big Doug. Can you imagine that? Okay, go on.
I say that could. I just don't like. Does Digimon even have that pull anymore? I thought that was just long, long gone. And like, add that whole battle between Digimon and Pokemon when Digimon had that little slight edge for a little bit. Whatever is like, oh, they have more monsters, but Pokemon, as usual, prevailed as far as, you know, the bigger phenomenon. But I could be wrong. But is it still big in Japan, or would they just be able to just, you know, dumpster dive whatever for all their characters out and like, hey, they're back?
You know what? I don't know much about Digimon, to be honest with you, because that kind of came out in the time, like you said, when Pokemon was so huge, and that's kind of what I was all about. But I remember, and I don't even know who the developer is at this point, but do you guys remember, was it called Monster Hunter? Not Monster Hunter. I don't know. The one where they had, like, the CDs, and you can, like, put in, like, your compact discs into the PlayStation, and then monsters got created from it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about at all?
Yeah, I remember that. I never played it, but, yeah, I do remember that.
I can't remember the name of it. It's not Monster Hunter. I don't know. It'll come to me. I'll figure it out eventually. But anyways, so, Scott, tell me what characters from Namco Bandai you would like to see in this franchise, or otherwise, because I mean, obviously Sonic was Sega and Snake was Square Enix, or was Konami. So what do you want to see in this new one?
Well, definitely, like I said, the Pac-Man, as well as, you know, some of the Digimon characters, and you know, maybe just a few of the, you know, the more popular ones, just to, you know, reintroduce them back. You know, I think they might have lost a little bit of their flair that they used to have, but it'd be a perfect time to reintroduce them back into the gaming world. You know, it'd be awesome, you know, as a spinoff instead of you know, waiting forever for maybe a Pokemon RPG. Maybe Digimon does it ahead of time. You know, just throwing that out there. But
right.
You know, other than that, you know, as far as other characters, you know, I guess some of my hopes that will never happen are, you know, maybe a couple of the Kingdom Hearts characters. You know, get Sora in there.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Maybe Riku. And, you know, maybe even, you know, some of the other characters that are just new characters out there, you know, maybe take them out of their games and bring them into some of the newer games. But maybe even some Pokemon, you know.
Oh, yeah,
As some in the series. So definitely, I mean, there's so much that they could do. I'm just kind of excited to see what would happen. And, you know, going back to some of the Namco, I mean, there's you know, Roger from Tekken. You know, he's a bocce king, but why not?
Yeah, that's interesting that you say all these things, because like Chris was saying, I mean, it doesn't even have to be like a character from Namco, because now Nintendo's kind of embracing this online mentality, so maybe we can start getting some like DLC characters from, I don't know, even from, I don't know, from anybody really. I mean, so Harrison, who are you excited to see, or who would you like to see the most?
Obviously, Pac-Man would be the more version, but I don't want to see Pac-Man in his anthropomorphic form that he had, that he's kind of shown right now. I want to see him. No, I don't want him in legs. I want him as he appears in the original. I feel like they could do some interesting things with him when it comes to his attack.
Kind of like a Game & Watch character.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, I want him to be like that. Other characters. Maybe a few soul, like one or two Soul Calibur characters would be kind of nice. Like, well, you can't do too much. You'd have to take maybe one of the more, if you're going to be taking this from different fighting franchises, be it through Tekken or like Soul Calibur, you would have to maybe take like the one or few, like one popular one from that. I mean, you can't go a little overboard. And the one I could probably come to mind from like Soul Calibur, you could probably use Nightmare.
Nightmare would be cool.
Nightmare would probably be a good one. And I think, you know, when I think of it, I think a Soul Calibur character probably would be the most likely, given how Namco's previous business with Nintendo when it was Soul Calibur, when they had Link and Soul Calibur 2. So.
And don't forget the famous Nintendo character Yoda and Darth Vader, also in Soul Calibur. That was a joke.
Is there a way they can? Are you saying we're gonna pull some like strings in this one? Like, well, they were in those games, so can we?
Yeah, right. that'd be kind of neat. But man, I'm excited to even just speculate about this, because I remember
there's
when,
so many. Yeah, that's the thing, is just going through a list. You know, in all honesty, one of the ones I think Bandai and Namco might put through, because they've made so many of the games, is a Tails character. I mean, there's so many Tales games that they've made. I Vesperia, Symphonia, Graces, Tales of the World, you know what I mean? There's so many different Tales characters that they can spring from, and whatever the most popular one was, there might be a new character.
It'll probably be a Tales of Symphonia character, because those ones were the Nintendo exclusives, like on the GameCube and the Wii. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw like Lloyd. I think his last name was like Lloyd Banks or something. I don't remember.
And like you guys were saying too, like Tekken's a huge franchise, and it'd be cool to see somebody from Tekken like Martial Law or Yoshimitsu in it, or you know what I mean. There's so many different characters you can pull from there. So it like, you know, there's so many different guys. And at Namco, I mean, it would just be so sweet to see Pac-Man in there.
Oh, yeah. You know, if they start playing around with the DLC on the game and introducing characters to there, I think that somebody I'd love to see is, you know, put Reggie in the game. Let's see what he can do.
Well, and Eugene and I were just having a conversation. So since when is Snake such an, you know what I mean? Like, what does he have to do with the Super Smash Bros. Franchise? And they just threw him in there.
Exactly.
Or like you guys were saying, Sonic. Wouldn't it be cool to see, like, a Resident Evil character in there? Just like they did with Capcom versus Marvel or something like that. Where you see some really strong, good, you know, characters.
If they're going to do a Capcom character, I think the obvious choice would have to be Mega Man. I mean, it seemed long overdue. I mean, somebody for like a character that was like long tied to a lot of Nintendo consoles from like the early, like from the NES up to the Super Nintendo. I'd say with that, I think we're all in agreement.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Mega Man would definitely be one that would.
But at the same time, Capcom has treated Mega Man so poorly these last couple of years. I mean, the canceling Legends, and I mean.
Yeah, I think Chris's baby agrees on that.
Yeah, there he is. Aiden knows. He's like, yep, we need Mega Man. but I don't know. I mean, the possibilities are endless, and that's really awesome. I can't wait to see what we see in the next couple of months. Okay, so on to our little next bit of news. Pokemon sing it, sing that song. Pokemon Black and White 2 was just like super humongous in Japan when it just got released. I mean, just like out of control. I think it was something like 2.6 or 2.5 million units sold on day one.
1.5.
Or I'm sorry, 1.5. Yeah, and Essel, you wrote the article on this. So actually, why don't you talk about this a little bit for us?
Well, you know, it seems to be extremely popular. The apparently the exact number of copies was 1,618,621. They actually gave the exact number there.
That's ridiculous.
It definitely is. I mean, it actually
is this
has
like a primary for an election.
it seems like it. I mean, it's actually become the fastest selling game of the year in Japan. And it's the only game in 2012 so far to surpass 1 million in sales on day one. So, and actually, it also gained the award of the fastest selling DS game of all time. So it's actually a huge, huge accomplishment for the game. And I figured that it probably would sell very well the first day. It'll be interesting to see how the North American numbers compare to those Japan numbers. I think, though, that the one thing that's kind of a downer here is that the originals sold over 2.6 million in 1 week, and so almost 1 million more for the originals as compared to what these did. But it's still setting records, so that's a great thing.
So, I mean, obviously this is an original DS game, and I was kind of poo-pooing on it because of that. But, I mean, hey, Nintendo might have done the right thing in releasing it for the original DS. I mean, does that validate releasing the game on the DS opposed to the 3DS? I mean, what do you think about that, Harrison?
Well, I think with the Japanese gamers right now, I think it does a little validate, but then again, you could probably think it's a little different as far as to gamers out here in the West, out in the West. But I think it does. Again, I think that the one thing that comes in the back of my mind, though, is the fact that like when they're going like, oh, a new Pokemon game's out right now, and they're out going to buy this, and they're like, I know I'm not trying to generalize right now. Do you think there's always that small member, like a group out there that says, can I still play this on my 3DS or whatever, if they go out and buy it, thinking, like, yes, it is backwards compatible. I mean, that's kind of like me nitpicking a little fear, but yeah, I can. I mean, still, previous iterations that we've had, like, be it, you know, the first Black and White, even in the little remakes that we had for a while, this just goes to show that how much I've not played Pokemon in a while. I completely lost focus on how many games there are right now, just how much I lost focus after like 170 Pokemon or something. But yeah, it does. It still does have, I mean, Pokemon still has a bit of a good grasp here. I mean, first Black and White actually sold well once it came out near the DS's lifespan, and still we're actually selling this. It's, again, it's still selling. I think that's the main point that actually is going to get for, like, Nintendo actually to, you know, validate it. But is it going to validate it a second time with the release of the DS? No, I don't think so. I think that's just them being foolish to themselves, and it's like, okay, you get one free pass on that one, so... Yeah, that's what I have to say on that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's great that Nintendo has sold so many copies of this game. I mean, I still stand by my viewpoint that they should have brought it out on the 3DS, just because it would have been an evergreen title and it would have just continued to sell and sell and sell and sell for the 3DS, and it would have continued to help sell consoles. But at the same time, I mean, you can't ignore the 1.35 million. People or 1.6 million that bought the copy on day one,
including,
and that's just,
you,
yeah.
Admit it, you're gonna buy it the
oh,
second
yeah.
it comes
oh, yeah.
out.
Oh yeah, this guy's buying that game, and I'm not even ashamed to admit it. Well, so
get your Pokemans.
That's right. Well, Chris, I mean, are you excited to play this game then? I mean,
no,
no, not at all.
No, not at
you're
all.
You're done with the Pokemans?
No, I'm not done with the Pokemon. Like, I enjoy it. My wife thoroughly enjoys the game, but all I can say is, you know, every once in a while, with a huge, you know, out of the three big boys, there's always one game that kind of has to take the brunt of the force and pump something out kind of quick to start funding other stuff. And I think that it's Pokemon's turn to do that for Nintendo. Whether you like it or not, business is business, and it's helping fund plenty of other projects that Nintendo has. 1.5 million people, that's a lot of money.
Japan alone.
In Japan, yeah, that's right. A lot of money for them to do whatever they want with.
Yeah,
and
this game I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think this is all about funding. I think that's why this was released on the DS, not the 3DS.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you look out there, how many Nintendo DSs are out there in the public right now compared to 3DSs?
Exactly.
And with the 3DS playing backwards compatibility.
Yeah, that's a good point there. I mean, it's exactly. Just like, I mean, once they have a bigger installed base, I think it's like, okay, now we can get the next Pokemon title
well,
out there.
Exactly. The thing about it is it's not like a Mega Man title. It's not some like really, you know, like niche group of people that play this game. There's a lot of people, obviously 1.5 million play it. You know, they're going to come out with another one that's going to be awesome. It's going to be worth the wait for the 3DS. So it's not a big deal. I'm not going to spend my money on it just because, you know, it's kind of a rehash.
You know what? I'm going to take that bet with you right now. I guarantee you buy this game. I'm going to guarantee it.
I will not buy this game.
My prediction is he will borrow your copy at one point.
Borrow your copy.
Okay. Well, that's not fair. How about if I make him pay me money? Does that count to borrow
no,
the copy?
No, it doesn't. Because
my prediction by the end of this, while you're playing, like after either one of you guys are playing this game, you're all going to reach a consensus. Like, you know what would be great? A Pokemon MMORPG. PG, you know, we've always wanted that for a long time.
Yeah, right.
That'd be awesome. Now I think about it, they did. Need for Speed did it. Why can't Pokemon do it?
Right. Come on, Reggie, give us what we need. Well, so I guess that's really it about Pokemon Black and White too. Because
that's perfect roll in because you're complaining about Reggie. So let's.
Hey, see, you know where I'm segueing on this one, because Reggie was actually just recently talking to Kotaku about how hard it is to please the Nintendo audience. Harrison actually wrote this article on the site, and I mean, why don't you kind of lead us into this one, Harrison? Because he was saying how hard it is for Nintendo to, they're releasing a Mario title and we still want more. They're releasing a compilation of Nintendo franchises and we still want more. So, I mean, what do you think about this, what Reggie had to say about that?
Well, Reggie brings up a very valid point because, I mean, all of us have met, well, you have, you know, all of us who don't write about video games industry, we always have that core friend game or whatever that is up to date with the news. But also, they do want more. Basically, Reggie summed up, you know, it's very hard for them to please. And then again, I could say, like, okay, you're right about one thing, but you didn't really show the fan base one thing or another. What he was trying to get to is, like, when he was speaking to Steven Totilo from, like, Kotaku, and I, of course, butchered that name, he was basically saying, like, okay, we released this one title. Like, be it if it's a Pikmin title, I'm like, okay, that's fine. Can you show us more? Then, okay, here's a new Mario title. Oh, can you just more? I'm like, oh, here's the hardcore audience, whatever. Oh, just show us more. Basically, what he was trying to say is that it's kind of a bit fickle with them when it comes to the whole industry, like, with the audience itself.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's just, I think it comes down to, like, resentment for them. I feel like he feels like there's a lot of resentment for the company. I mean, that or the fact that, like, oh, you're really kind of living back on these, like, past promises and you're not getting delivering. This is what Reggie was trying to develop, to decipher. But part of me kind of felt like, is Nintendo really bordering on that line of whether or not they do get it or they don't get it? That's what kind of feared me in that short little interview. Now, again, it is very hard for them to actually, you know, get this core audience. I feel like they haven't had a really big install base like that. Well, not an install base, but that bit of a following since the 64. I mean, they've been working steadily trying to work that back. But it's still, when it comes to the third party aspect of giving, like, those, you know, those Call of Duties, you know, those shooters, anything like that out on that on trying to get on the Wii U, it also bogs down the fact you have these other competitors coming back or coming out their own consoles. And once the Wii U releases, you're thinking, okay, you know, how powerful is this console going to be to win the point, whatever, developers are making games for the Wii U and then they automatically jump ship to the next consoles.
Right.
I think Reggie himself got to that point, but I think it just sets up, you know, my main argument about the usual core gamer. You know, excuse my language, they can be a-holes.
Right, that's, yeah. Well, and that's kind of what Reggie was getting at, was that, I mean, Nintendo is going to be launching a Mario title with the Wii U, and still, I mean, people are kind of complaining, well, okay, that's cool, but we've seen this before. And Nintendo is going to be releasing a compilation of all of its franchises in Nintendo Land, which was actually really fun, but getting to play that, but, I mean, still people are like, okay, but what's next? And, I mean, that... he does have a point there, but I mean, at the same time, I don't think that I'm not sure that he addressed that as well. I don't think he
there you go.
His argument.
Exactly. That's where I want to chime in on. I think that he has a valid point, but the way he worded it and the way he made it sound like a complaint is not good. That's not professional. He should not have said it the way he said
right.
it. He makes more money than the president of the United States of America. He's very capable of reiterating his words properly, and he just didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I don't – personally, being a consumer who purchased it – and I'm not – I've never complained once about the new Mario game. I've never complained once about, you know, the new online thing that Nintendo's coming out with.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making it sound like it's everybody that has a Nintendo – you know, that are fans of Nintendo have this issue.
Right.
And that's what I don't agree with. And it's hurtful, in all honesty.
Yeah, and at the same time, I mean, he did say... I mean, he had a lot of valid points, but it just didn't – it kind of seemed as if he came off as really defensive to Kotaku. And at the same time, it might have been Kotaku the way that they were editing his – the way that he was talking. I mean, we might not have heard the full argument there, but I mean – so, Scott, I mean, why don't you chime in on this? How do you feel about this, about what Reggie had to say?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, you hit it on the head. He could have said it a lot better, you know, if he would have just thought about what he was going to say ahead of time before just, you know, just saying it. That would have, you know, had a much, much better impact. But again, as you said, Eugene, we don't know the full story because it could have been edited differently.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I know that overall, you know, the Nintendo fanboys and fangirls out there, they are a hard crowd to please. I mean, they get excited when something new comes out, and we love it. But as we play it, we do want more. And I think that's good. That's true with any system out there. I think that maybe the Nintendo fans are maybe a little bit more vocal because it's been around for so long, compared to the other two systems out there. And I think that overall, I don't think it's a whole lot to worry about. I mean, I think that he should have just maybe let it slide past a little bit more. As soon as the system's released, people are going to be happy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to nitpick every little thing. Sure, people are going to hate things. They're going to love things about the system. But
well, a good example, a wonderful example of that is like the latest Zelda that came out. The game was great and I loved it, but mm-hmm. that Wii motion control thing was total garbage to me. I thought that that's where
me and you disagree. We had this conversation.
Oh my god, that was the worst gameplay I've ever had in my life.
And I'm gonna have to agree to disagree with you there, but I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, obviously, but
I'm just kind of shocked at that comment. I'm like, wow. I mean, there were people, I mean, again, agree to disagree, but I mean, I felt like there were two camps, one that really loved it, and
that's the thing, is I really loved the game, but what made it from like an A+ to a triple A++ title for me was just that stupid Wii Motion Plus was not working for me. It never did. No matter how many times I tried, it just wouldn't work for me. And that's what frustrated me, was it just didn't work. It never worked for me. And that's it sucks, because it killed such a wonderful game for me.
Oh, I mean, not that camp of like, oh, they liked it or hated the game. I meant like when it came to the controls, like there were people like, yeah, this really, like I was in the camp like, okay, I don't want to play a Zelda title any other, like a 3D Zelda title any other way like this. And then there was that small group that like, yeah, it was okay, a little not perfect.
See,
I'm with you
there, Harrison, because I really liked the controls on it. I mean, they really connected with me. I mean, it really felt like I was holding a sword in my hand, you know?
Right.
Oh yeah,
and that's what I think we had to look at here. I mean, they did try something different. Some people liked it. Chris hated it. You know, they had to try it though, because
Reggie's so pissed at me right now. It's like
he's gonna be calling in on the next podcast.
Chris, my body is not ready for you.
I'll leave that one alone. But but yeah, I mean, if they didn't try something new, we'd have the same old game, and after a while, it would get boring.
Okay,
they have to say something.
Say that, but think about like the Super Mario games that have been coming out that are very, very platformy, very, very repetitive, and the same thing that's been so long. So
go on.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like I think it varies with titles, and personally, I don't want them to really try something new with Zelda. I want a good, honest, old-fashioned Zelda game. That's what I liked. That's what I loved about the series.
It
screwed me up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think where Nintendo can really innovate with Zelda is like by adding. I know this is another point of contention, but like adding voice acting to the game and adding like a good cutscene production value to the game, like a real good story.
That's on the top list of like most wanted additions to the series, but I'm still in the camp of like, you know, keep Link a silent protagonist. You know, you can probably work some really good things around there, whatever, like to, you know, he's about to say something like, you know, interruptions, like do it in a kind of a semi-comical way.
Well,
but
yeah, well, and you know what, they could do it, they can do it that way, and I agree with you, I kind of like Link silent as well, but they can do like what Metroid Prime 3 did and have everybody else around him talking and being voice acted, because that I think that would work as well. I mean, I'm not tired of reading text, but at the same time, it'd be nice to have
dude,
like
2012,
voice actors, you know?
let's man up voice acting in it.
Exactly. But Chris, when you mentioned about the whole Mario series, I mean, this is one thing I got through in the Kotaku interview with Reggie. He also kind of hinted at fact, like, you know, trying to change these franchises. I mean, I felt like while reading the interview that, you know, it seemed like fans were pressuring them to, like, you know, change these franchises around really, you know, fresh, you know, or get these new IPs. And when it came back to, usually a first mistake for me as a writer or whatever, don't read a comment section so much, like, on a site like that. But then again, you're writing for the consumer. You know, that's who you're, like, you're reading to, the, like, writing to them, and you're, like, your readers and your readership. But given the internet, it's very, very nasty when it comes to, like, Kotaku or Gawker Media or IGN commenters. It's really, really bad. But when I read down there, there's usually these really bad comments on there about, like probably the worst thing, like, oh, I can't wait for this company to die a fiery death, the next generation.
Yeah,
you know,
like any true lover of Mario or games in general is going to just scroll past that. Like, I know when I read a Kotaku interview with Reggie where he's bashing, not bashing, but, you know, being somewhat unprofessional, I'm going to just scroll past the people who are just saying that stupid stuff, and I'm really going to take to heart what people really have to say who have been diehard fans of that. I don't want to be throwing my nunchuck around, throwing fireballs as Mario when he's got his fireball suit on. I just don't want to do that. You know what I mean?
I totally get what you mean. It just, I think when I read that, it just kind of strengthens me thinking like, I'm glad I'm not that idiotic like this person. But it also got down to other comment, like a few, like, oh, they're releasing the same game every year. I'm like, wait, every year. I go back, I'm like, what is it? what was it, 05 was the first new, or, yeah, it was like 05 was like the first new Super Mario Brothers title, I believe, or 06. Then there was new Super Mario Brothers, and then there was the two Galaxy titles. Yeah, they're released every year, I believe. It's like about 2 or 3 year intervals. But when you always had that small contingent of fans out there that really want something different from the side scroller or Mario titles, and it's not just fans, it's usually a lot of critics out there. I mean, one that I could probably see that does this, and I love this guy's writing and his video style, it's Yati Krosha. He's a very big critic when it comes to this company reusing, like, the same, like, oh, they're writing up the success of all their, like, their franchises. But here's the thing with the Mario side-scrolling titles. Yes, you can add these little changes to it, but it's how much are you going to actually do for the gameplay aspect where you're going to change it too much. You know, it could
become
exactly a bit of a disaster.
That's exactly what I think happened with Zelda, was they changed it too much. And that's what really threw me off, and I was not expecting that, and it ruined the game for me. It, you know, kind of like this year's E3. I was expecting a lot more, and nothing happened. Nothing positive came out of it.
Yeah, well, at the same time, I think these are all valid points, and Nintendo kind of has it a little bit harder than most, because these franchises have been around for decades now, you know. Right. I mean, Zelda originally came out, I believe, in 1984, so I mean, we're almost going on we just had our 25th anniversary of the Zelda franchise. I mean, it's just crazy how long these franchises have been going. So how much can they change and how much can they innovate? I mean, that's kind of the key here to obviously they're never going to be able to please everybody, kind of like Chris
obviously
said.
Yeah, like I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm never going to buy a Zelda game again. You bet your sweet
Hadouken!
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't say that.
we'll edit it, don't worry, it's okay.
You bet your sweet butt that I'm going to go down the next time a Zelda game comes out and buy that game. It's, you know what I mean, and they even said that they're going to keep the obnoxious controls for the next game. Didn't they say that?
For the next 3D one, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they said that.
Fine with that, because the other thing that stressed me out about that game was you had to go to each level 8 times before the story finally ended, which was a little obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm still going to buy a Zelda game because it's Zelda, and I look forward to having those adventures with Link and everybody, which is cool. It's just I really, really can't wait until they change again, hopefully back to a better fighting style, because it was garbage to me.
Well, hey, I mean, and you know what? I mean, there's a lot of people that think like you did. I mean, I'm
sitting here telling you that I'm not the only one that thought this.
And Harrison said, I'm pretty sure that in Yahtzee's Skyward Sword interview, or a review on Zero Punctuation, I'm pretty sure he kind of said the same things about the waggle controls. I mean, everybody has their own opinion, and it's going to be impossible to please everybody. But like Scott said, it's great to see that Nintendo tried something different, and I, for one, really did enjoy the motion controls in it. So I'm kind of going back to what we were originally talking about.
Yeah, with Reggie.
So he had another infamous thing he did at E3 this year. He kind of sort of announced inadvertently Fire Emblem for the 3DS that it was going to be coming to America, and I thought that was kind of cool, because it was after the 3DS event that night, and just judging by all the Twitter comments and by everybody's comments around the internet, that conference was very lackluster, and I'm going to say that I even sitting there, like, the air was just taken out of the room. There was just really nothing there. But at the end of the show, it kind of looked like Reggie was kind of drawing at strings. And
well, he had one or two martinis before his conference. He was a little...
Yeah, he was just kind of – I think he kind of wanted to just kind of leak this. And I believe it was Stephen Totillo and George from IGN and Totillo from Kotaku that he was talking to, and he kind of leaked the information about Fire Emblem coming to the America. But, I mean, so why do you think that Nintendo didn't show their hand for that so early? Why didn't they talk about that at the Nintendo press conference there at E3? I mean, Harrison, what do you think about that? What do you think that they – just because it's not quite ready to show, or what's the deal?
For Fire Emblem? Well, I'm going to be honest. I wasn't the biggest of Fire Emblem fans. Not that I hate it. It just, I think after I finally got my first taste of it, like the first release that was on the GBA, which is called Fire Emblem for a while. I mean, once we first got one in the States, I mean, I obviously there was because for a while I played Advance Wars. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, I believe Intelligent Systems was the one that actually did develop, you know, the first few Fire Emblem series. You know, that's what got me hooked onto a little bit more. But I think after like the first game, I just lost interest. But
and you
kind of
had
course,
to chill after the first game.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, a lot of these other series, it's not that I don't, like, I welcome them there. It's like, eh, it just didn't really interest me as far as, like, a turn-based title. But I'm glad that they do, or whatever it did announce, is a little bit more. I mean, more than the merrier that you can get for the 3DS right now. I mean, just as I get my Advance Wars title, I'll be pretty happy. But, I mean, I'll probably look at this back on and be like, you know what, maybe I'll give this one a try.
Yeah, so I don't know if you played the Fire Emblem games at all, Scott, but did this announcement excite you at all, or I mean, what did you think about it?
I'm actually with Harrison on this one. You know, I never really got into the Fire Emblem series. You know, I think it's great that it's another addition to the 3DS system, but. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just not something on my want list at this time.
Yeah, and I mean, Chris, I know that I think you played a couple of Fire Emblem.
Yeah,
games, right?
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love the Fire Emblem games. I think they're really super fun, and they're really fun, especially when you're like on your commute somewhere, like on a train or a bus or whatever, or you're in an airport. Those are great games to play. But I think I would have been more excited for like Harrison was saying, an Advance Wars title would be great. A new one. That would have been really, really fresh and cool, because I haven't had one in a while that's been decent.
Mm-hmm.
I think as far as them wanting to show their hands so early, or like waiting on it since E3, I mean, you know, the big thing was the Wii U.
Yeah.
Any big titles, like huge titles for the 3DS or anything like that, they kind of wanted to wait on anyways, because all eyes were on the Wii U at that time. So I don't think that they played it too early or too late. I think it was a nice, fun little leak, and it helped a lot of people, you know, kind of get excited with Nintendo again, which was really cool. But like I said, I would have rather liked to see an Advance Wars game.
Well, I guess I'm in the minority here, because I'm really excited for a Fire Emblem title coming. I mean, I just love the series, but at the same time, I do realize that the game is completely niche. I mean, I don't see it selling a million copies here in North America at all. I mean, it'll be lucky to sell a million copies. But at the same time, I mean, for those of us that are excited about it, that little leak from Reggie was kind of... I don't know, it was really exciting that he kind of gave that to us, and you know... I don't know. It was just really, really cool to see that coming from him. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with it. It's already out in Japan, and it's been kind of rumored for a while that it's going to be coming out. So, but anyways, that's kind of it for the news, folks. I mean, we can kind of just shuffle on to what we've been playing lately. I don't know if you guys have been playing any Nintendo games or otherwise lately. So yeah, Harrison, why don't you start us off?
Right now I've actually been kind of going on a game. I've been kind of going on a game. I've been kind of going on a Game Boy Advance kick lately, but well, I've been playing on my playing a lot of like Legend of Zelda, like Super Mario Advance 4, and which of course Super Mario Brothers 3. Even in this day, I think like God, that's really a mouthful to say. But at first, too many. It just seemed too many syllables and too many numbers. Like a title with two different numbers on there, you're just like. Wow, even I should have thought that was a little title maker's nightmare, but I digress. I've been playing a lot of that lately, just enjoying the fact that, like, all of my little favorite NES and Super NES titles, you know, in portable form.
Right.
I was on a road trip for a while, and I got to play that. Just to Springfield for a while, up in Springfield, Missouri, to visit a friend, and that was a bit of a... I played that a lot, but... That, and I also noticed on my DS, whatever, when I held it on the back, whatever, I mean, I was playing The Legend of Zelda Four Swords, like, Link to the Past, Game Boy Advance, and Four Swords.
Mm-hmm.
I had that in the GBA slot, and of course in the top, which I forgot was in there for the longest time, I had Chrono Trigger on there.
And a thought occurred
to me, I'm like, I'm holding a DS right now that has basically quite possibly the two greatest Super Nintendo games of all time. Wow, if I'd have shown this to myself probably like years ago as a kid, my mind would have been blown as far as like had this portability. But again, these were just rare, like finally, like just released way a little bit, like a few years back. But yeah, that's what I've been playing right now, just kind of getting more into GBA, like fix the moment. And I mean, I do have an SP right now, but I just do not know where my charger is for a while. But again, I could just probably get those really cheap, but also I've been wanting to get a paint job on my SP for a while, which I know, I think it was either Derek or Blake on the pod, like the past podcast, they talked about how they sent off their, you know, their SPs to get, you know, professionally painted.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Like a different color. Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, I might just do that, whatever. I mean, I'm really considering it for a while, but yeah, I just look back in the SP and I'm thinking, like, you know, what a wonderfully just designed handheld. I mean, just, it defines, I mean, not to say for the original Game Boy or Game Boy Pocket. Well,
I gotta
say,
the SP was my least favorite because I have huge hands, and that tiny little square really, 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 really hurt my hands after playing it forever.
You must have been a fan of the DS Fat, haven't you?
Yes, I was, actually. As a matter of fact, I was a huge fan of it. I have, like, really long fingers and big hands, and it hurts really bad to play on, like, a square or, like, a narrow system. So, yeah. I was.
So, Scott, what have you been playing? You've been kicking out the old Atari lately, or?
You know, I haven't really played too much with the Atari lately, but I have finally finished the Final Fantasy III, so I moved on to Final Fantasy Tactics, the War of the Lions.
And that's iOS also?
Yeah, that one's on the iOS, and I'm completely not a fan of the game at all, so I'm thinking that I'm just going to skip right over to the... to Final Fantasy IV and the after years.
Can you reiterate why you're not a big fan of it?
Basically because I'm horrible at it.
That's fair.
Exactly. You know, I think I need to take my time with it. I kind of played on it during downtimes and I kind of rush. And, you know, I got through the first battle sequence on there and I survived. But, you know,
I survived the first one. It was pretty
exciting. Yeah, well, you know, I was pretty excited about that one. But, you know, I get to the second one where there's just, you know, the two characters fighting. I think it's like six or seven. And I went into it unprepared and basically got just demolished right away. So I should probably take my time with it. But
The Final Fantasy Tactic games are really, really fun. I like them personally.
You know what? I like my favorite one is actually not even the PS1 version, but the Game Boy Advance one, Tactics Advance, I think is what you said.
Oh, yeah.
I like that game a lot.
Yeah, and the PS1, I got pretty far on that one. I think then I ended up losing the disc way back.
You got
then.
To level 4. I got to level 4. It was
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, I'll probably end up just moving on to Final Fantasy IV and in the after years and, you know, play this one kind of in the background when I have some downtime. The other game I've been playing is actually Lollipop Chainsaw. And,
oh, okay.
You know, tell us about it.
It's actually pretty awesome. I mean, you know, I'm not a fan of the controls. To me, it's you know, I tried to, you know, move over to, like, maybe the zombie on the left, and it just it's not working out the best for me. I think that you know, I just have to, you know, get used to the controls a little bit more on that because it's a little bit different than what I would expect. I guess I'm more because I've been playing a lot of the old Kingdom Hearts games lately to prepare for the Dream Drop Distance. I'm used to that battle system where I can easily move back and forth. But the only real complaint I have about the game is the linearity of it. I mean, it's very linear. I'd like it if they opened up the world a little bit more and did some more exploration and so on. But
Suda 51's really, especially recently with like Shadows of the Damned and stuff, that was also pretty linear. There wasn't really a lot of exploring to do in that as well.
You could say the same thing for No More Heroes as well. Right. I mean, it wasn't technically the most non-linear of games.
Exactly. But it's really a good game. I mean, it's definitely not something you probably want to play around kids. You know, there's definitely a lot of swearing and you know, just a lot of stuff that probably is not good for young kids.
You frequent the mute button a lot, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you try to.
Yeah, you don't want to play that game in front of your kids or your girlfriend or wife.
Why
not?
A cheerleader with zombies?
Here's
the chainsaw?
Here's my cleavage, and then my panties are showing the entire game, too. I would just think it'd be super uncomfortable to play. I don't know. It's super hyper-sexualized and, like, so violent that I got to play at E3
in
that game.
Dude, when has Suda never been
super? Well, yeah, I know. He always goes for over the top. I understand that, but at the same time, like when the zombies are attacking you, like there's very very strong undertones of like sexual rape from these zombies, and it's kind of just weird. Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't sit well with me.
The language, of course, also is pretty bad in some spots. But,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're playing it, you know, alone, it's actually it's a fun game, and it's kind of funny. You know, just hearing it coming from a video game.
Right.
You know, I think that.
It's like a Tarantino film. You never want to.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You don't want to watch it with your mom.
Exactly. But it's pretty cool. I mean, I like the graphics. I went there to get it for my PS3, and when I went to purchase it, and they didn't get any of the PS3 stock in, unfortunately. But I ended up picking it up for the Xbox 360, and, you know, I'm pretty happy with the purchase.
Yeah. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought it was really fun, and I'll probably end up picking it up eventually. But I don't know. Suda51, he just does things his own way, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, Chris, what have you been playing lately? I know you just got a Vita recently, so...
Yes, I got my lovely wife and my mother got me a Vita for Father's Day, so I've been playing a lot of Uncharted. And it's... That little system, I'm really, really... I love it so much, and I'm so disappointed that other people aren't really purchasing them as fast as they were hoping for, because it's actually a really, really great little handheld.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the only game that I have for it is Uncharted, and I feel like I'm playing Uncharted on the PS3, but I'm at a Starbucks, or I'm at, you know wherever I'm at. Mm-hmm. Which is really, really cool. The collectibles in that game are, you know, there's so many of them that you can get, and they all tie to the story, so it makes you want to play it over and over. The, you know, that game's just done really well, just like you'd expect from any Uncharted game. Other than that, you know, the system, the handheld itself, it's so easy to connect back and forth to the computer. It's got Bluetooth technology, so I can hook it right up to my Focus and play music off of my, you know, on my Focus's radio or whatever I want to do. It's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And it's super easy, which I like a lot about it, which Sony stuff hasn't really been super easy to use for me with, like, the PS3 or anything like that, and this is a total turnaround.
Well, I mean, going back to this Vita talk, I mean, I think that Sony's problem is the same thing that Nintendo had at first. I mean, the games just aren't there right now. I mean, you have your Uncharted, and, Marvelous Capcom is there, and Wipeout is there, but the price is very restrictive. I mean, you're not going to meet them.
Yeah, the one thing that is disappointing, I could get two games, or I could get a game and a memory card,
mm-hmm.
which was ridiculous. Right. I shouldn't spend $50 on a memory card.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts to me. That you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And that's just Sony in general. I mean, Sony does that all
the time. Well, they did that with the PSP. I mean, I remember buying a 1 gig card back in 2000, whenever that thing came out, was almost – no, dude, it was almost $100. I remember, even for like a 2 gig card. It's crazy. But obviously with the prices will start going down as the production ramps up and whatnot. But I don't know. I think it's good for Nintendo and Sony that both of the systems are going to start doing well. Hopefully the PS Vita does well, so then, I mean, competition just breeds innovation, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Other than that, as far as console games, I've been playing a lot of Max Payne 3, a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of on this, like, third-person shooter kick for some weird reason, and this game is, dude, it's so good. I don't understand why people didn't like it that much. It's so good.
I played the demo and I didn't care for it much, but
well,
I guess
you said you were concerned about the violence in it, right?
It is so brutal.
It's not. Like, you have a choice to be brutal during bullet time.
Yeah, that's
true.
You can
shoot him, you can fire one bullet and kill the guy and then just let it do its thing, or you can unleash a whole clip in him. It's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the story is concerned, it's super gritty. It's a super duper good thriller, and that's, you know, and it's really fulfilling Max Payne's adventure, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really like it. The gameplay is good. There's a few little glitches here and there as far as, like, the cover system's concerned. But other than that, I love it. It's really good. It looks pretty. It plays pretty. It's fun all around. Mm-hmm. And then as far as not retro, but older games I've been playing is, like, Sly Cooper 3.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, and 3. My wife's been playing them, so I've been watching her play those. Excited for the new one coming out, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been playing too much other than I've been kind of busy as of late, but I have played Pikmin 2. I picked that one up when it was released, and I just love it. I can't wait for Pikmin 3 to come out on the Wii U. I'm definitely going to pick that one up for sure.
I never did finish Pikmin 2. I mean, I think I
he
I never did.
Yeah. Oh, that's why he's missing in Pikmin 3. No, he's kidding. He kids.
I'm kidding.
Spoilers.
No, like, well, though, I would say with the second one, the one thing I liked that they obviously improved of that one is they made it longer, because when you first played Pikmin 1, you know, great new original experience from, like, Miyamoto, and it just, right when it was just getting, like, God, this is so good, and then this is the final boss, and you're like, wow, this is over way too soon. That was my only complaint from the game. That was just only thing I thought. if that would have just been about maybe a few more hours longer, mm-hmm. I probably would hold that game up to being like one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, and that's why I think Pikmin 2 is so much better than the first one, because, I mean, technically, yes, they still do have the day-night cycle, so then you can only play certain areas for a certain amount of time, but they implemented where you can go into caves, and in caves there's no time limit at all, so you can kind of really explore the cave and really, attack the enemies or, you know, get your pellets and collect the items to get money for your ship and whatnot, and I don't know, I'm just really enjoying it. My thing is that I hope that it's not going to burn me out for Pikmin 3, because from what I played at E3, Pikmin 3 is going to be a lot more of the same. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be ready for that right at launch a couple of months from now. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I am enjoying my time with Pikmin 2, though, for sure.
What else are you playing?
Just Pikmin 2. I mean, I've been playing that and FIFA against you. Yeah, and FIFA with you.
Oh, yeah, FIFA. I forgot about that because of the Euro Cup.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You guys been watching that?
Yes.
I know Harrison.
A liar. He's such a liar. He's like,
Harrison's a soccer fan.
Are you really? Who's your team? Let's hear it.
Who's my team? I'm sorry, but I'm carefree with Chelsea, so.
What about your international team?
My international, because my nationality, Germany.
Germany. And on that note, let's end the podcast.
This has been Nintendo Radio for the, no, I'd rather.
This is Nintendo Radio. Chris and Harry are going to go. Me and Chris are going to go fight for a little bit. So,
well, Chris is Dutch, so
I was so embarrassed.
I did not. I'll say this. I will say this. I rooted for them in the last World Cup. I really wanted them to pull it off. So,
yeah, they never do though.
Well, Spain just won today, so I mean, I'm going to have to root for whoever wins tomorrow's game.
I'm going
to
say that I have a high hopes that Germany is going to take it. That was my second team in line. If the Dutch didn't make it, mm-hmm. Germany is going to be the next one for me.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that it's going to happen. I think Spain's going to win it, bro.
I don't know. Germany's been playing really aggressive. We'll see what happens. All right, let's play right now. Spain versus Germany. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, no, that's all we've been playing. We play a lot of FIFA together. We get real angry and start yelling and profanities. And you have to give Aiden earmuffs. But, well, that's really it, folks. I mean, it's been actually a pretty long episode. I think we're an hour plus this week, and it's just been pretty fantastic. Thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me back into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really fun.
Yeah, Harrison and Scott, thanks a lot. I mean, hopefully we'll get into our rhythm again and start podcasting every Wednesdays again. And why don't we give out our Twitters and all that fun stuff before we get out of here? Harrison, let us know your Twitter. Give it to the Nintendo audience.
Yes, listen to watch me tweet. Yes, mine is H. Milfeld. It's HMILFELD, all one word, @. Or you could maybe try and find me a little, like, through the search bar. Who knows? If you do enjoy games, soccer talk, well, hockey talk, or generally me, just my movie musing. So, yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
Great. So, Essel, what's your Twitter real quick so that everybody can find you?
Sure, you can find me at Essel Pratt, ESSELPRATT, and mostly just post my articles that I post on Infindo and Nerdzy.com, and, other than that, just a few clips here and there, so I'm pretty boring on Twitter, but that's fine, just follow me anyway.
Well, my Twitter handle is Infindo_Eugene. And basically, I just tweet about. I don't tweet a lot. I was tweeting a lot during E3 and all that fun stuff. But now most of my tweets are about food and soccer. So if you like food and soccer, you continue in following me.
And who doesn't love food?
This is true. And Chris has a Twitter as well. He's trying to find his on here. If we can't find it, we'll just edit it in.
Yes.
Yeah,
he forgot his Twitters. He forgot us.
But that's all right. We'll edit it in here at the end of the show. But thanks again, folks. It's been a great weekend, and be sure to rate us on iTunes, all that fun stuff. And we'll see y'all next week.
Oh, wait, I found it.
All right, thanks. Chris found it. He found it. Here it is. Give it to
him. I found it. It's ZKS cap all caps lock _ Chris with a capital C on Chris.
Boom.
And that's it. Follow me. I can't guarantee that I'll post anything, like, a lot, but I'll do it. Definitely, I'll be there.
especially now. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Now, if you could just remember your password.
Yeah. No, it's on. I had to grab my phone because it's on my phone. I remember it.
That's funny that you say that because Chris never remembers his password.
Nope, I have like 15 passwords.
So. All right, folks. You hear that? That's the music. It's fading us out. It's fading us out of this podcast. So that's
bye.
That's another Infendo Radio, guys. So thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye.